Can't. Welcome everybody to the NFL show.
Oh, Bill Walton. Now let's go.
Network. Will you be quiet, Bill Walton? Wannabe. The NFL show is brought to you by Path of Purity. Make sure you check them out at pathofpurity.direct/replenishingcare/. I am your host for the NFL show, Mike Goodpasser. Right now, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Sam Teets. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about you?
All right. We have a couple special guests. You know him. You don't really love him. And we really can't get rid of him no matter what we do. From the 1981 national champion, Indiana Hoosiers, Steve Risley. How you doing, Steve?
Morning, gentlemen.
All right. And we have a new special guest today, Greg Gorecki. Did I get that right, Greg?
You did.
Well, that's pretty good. It took me forever to learn how to say teats. But how you doing, Greg?
Very well, thanks.
Now, Greg, you're a Browns fan, correct?
I am.
Hmm. So we got a Browns fan,
that doesn't
fan.
Mean that I don't dislike or that I don't like other teams in the league, though.
Yeah, but you don't like the Steelers, do you?
I've cheered for the Steelers. I've cheered for the Bengals. So I have been amused at times what you've said about the Browns.
Well, what about the Steelers, though? I mean, didn't you think it was hilarious when Sam Teets had to eat all of that crow on the show when the Browns smacked the Steelers right square in the mouth last week?
Well, there's been a few things over the course of the season that I've found amusing at times. Yeah, you know, I remember back a few weeks ago when Tennessee, the running back, I'm drawing a blank.
Henry,
yeah. He was going to run roughshod over the Browns, and I think that was the beginning of the end for Derrick Henry, because he hasn't run well since.
Yeah,
the Browns shut him down.
And Derrick Henry's just like the Pittsburgh Steelers, watching the playoffs at home. All right, let's start off.
Well, and Greg, you noticed one thing: they didn't lump my Colts in with the Browns and the Bengals because we're in that category of being Super Bowl champions,
unlike the
Browns and the Bengals. So. We're in a whole different class of football. We got a couple Super Bowl Lombardi trophies.
No, you don't.
We've got one. No, we have two.
Where's the other one?
Sitting right next to the one.
Okay.
They're both there.
When did the Indianapolis Colts win two Super Bowls?
No, the Colts won two Super Bowls.
No.
What city they're in doesn't matter.
Yes, it does, because there was no party in Indianapolis in 1971.
No.
There was no party. There's none. No, so just stop with that. You stole the team illegally. You know it. You've nothing but thieves in Indianapolis.
That move was approved by the League of Board of Governors, by the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's become one of the most lucrative deals in the NFL, unlike the Cincinnati Bungles.
Well, see, I don't make fun of your team, though, just because you're illegitimate.
Because there's not a lot to make fun of.
There's not? With the Indianapolis Colts? There's a long history of it.
I think we put more players in the Hall of Fame in the last 5 years than you have in the entire history of the Bungles.
Doesn't matter. We've been to as many Super Bowls as Indianapolis has, which is two, and we didn't have to steal our team. But let's go ahead and let's talk about Urban Meyer to the Jaguars. We'll start off with Greg, since maybe he's got some sense. I've given up on both of you guys. Urban Meyer to the Jaguars. What do you think, Greg?
There hasn't been too many college coaches that have come into the NFL and been successful. So we'll see what happens with Urban Meyer, with the exception of the short time Barry Switzer spent in Dallas and the success that Jimmy Johnson has had in the last 30, 40 years. There hasn't been a lot of success for college coaches, really.
All right. Sam, what do you think? Good move or bad move by the Jaguars? And good move or bad move by Urban Meyer?
Well, it can't be a bad move by Urban Meyer. He's going to make millions of dollars over for however long he's in Jacksonville. So I don't think this can be a terrible move for him in any way. But if it's going to work anywhere for Urban Meyer, I don't think it's going to work out long term. It might last for maybe 3-4 years at most, and then he's probably going to have to leave. But if it's going to work out anywhere, probably be Jacksonville. That's where they have the most young players, most cap space, most draft picks. So if there's going to be a place where it's going to work, Jack will be it for Urban Meyer. But I think, I can't see it working beyond maybe 3 or 4 years down the line.
Yeah, to me, he's got a shot just because it's going to be a young team, so they might buy into his crap for a few years until they get older and get a bigger bank accounts. Steve, what do you think?
I tend to agree with Sam. I think it's an ego thing for Urban, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think he he can take those young players and mold them into pros, although I don't know how much about the pro game he really knows, but he's going to be able to put together a pretty good staff, I would assume. It's a great PR move for Jacksonville down there. So I see it as a more win-win situation than a lose-lose situation. I agree with Sam. I think it's a 3 to 4 year proposition. He's going to want to be back in the booth again. But I expect him to have some moderate success for that Jacksonville franchise.
Well, when you're coming off one win, two wins, you're winning twice as many games as you did the year before. So he's in good shape there. He's got an owner that showed with Doug Marrone, he'll give you forever to screw it up. Sam, the New York Jets, what do you think of their move?
Yeah, I think this is actually a pretty good move for the Jets because you bring in a guy like they have right now with Robert Saleh, it makes a huge difference to the program because he is a high-energy guy. I understand it doesn't work out well. Sometimes the high-energy guys fall flat on their faces, but I view him in a similar sense to what Mike Vrabel brought to Tennessee. I imagine he'll bring something of that to the New York Jets. They do have some very good young defensive pieces in guys like safety Marcus May, defensive tackle Quinton Williams. This is a defensive coordinator is now head coach that took a 74-49ers unit missing Richard Sherman Bosa for most of the year and made them a defense. So I think there's a chance here that he at least turns the Jets ball, although it'll be interesting to see what he did with the offensive coordinator position and how he fills out the rest of his coaching staff.
All right, Greg, can anybody be successful with the New York Jets?
It's been a while.
Bill Parcells, Ryan was successful for a couple years, but I mean,
he was moderately successful.
He made it to a couple championship games.
Beat the Patriots once.
Yeah, divisional playoff game. But do you think that I think this is a good hire for him? I'm just not sure anybody succeeds here.
I was surprised this morning when I heard that this is where he wanted to go.
Yeah,
because he had a couple of other interviews, and he said this is the Jets is where he wanted to go. So that's ambitious, anyway.
What do you think, Steve?
I don't know why anybody would want to coach in New York City or would want to play in New York City. That's the most pessimistic town I've ever been to in my life. There's nobody happy in that city whatsoever about anything. And I just, you know, aside from the Giants winning a couple Super Bowls in the 80s and 90s, I guess, other than that, what the hell good has happened in the last 30 years in New York?
Well, actually, Steve, the Giants won a couple Super Bowls in the last 10 or 15 years.
Okay, yeah. Well, other than that, what is there? The Yankees don't even win that much anymore.
That's a good thing, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're not a Yankees fan, it's a great thing. And I'm not that big of a baseball fan, so it's, you know, I'm a Dodgers guy out here in L.A. I'm truly a Reds fan. I mean, I'm truly a Reds fan. But anyway, I don't know why anybody would want to go to New York. It's a losing proposition. It's overall been a losing proposition. You know, one of my teammates and great friends, Mike Woodson, went back to New York. You'd think he'd have learned his lesson the first time. And he's back assistant coaching the Knicks now after he was a stint as a head coach of the Knicks. And it's like, oh, let me take some more punishment, only this time as an assistant coach.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'll be paid half the money.
Paycheck. When you see his paycheck, you probably.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Mike's not hurting for money, you know.
You don't think they'll make a small improvement this year? They look a little better.
The Knicks?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I follow the NBA about as much as I follow the ward on my ass, so I don't follow either one of them very closely. And the NBA in about 2 years is going to become the CBA anyway, the Chinese Basketball Association. So it's not going to matter anyway. It's no longer going to be the NBA. Yeah. And I see now that Trump's out of power. Our boy in North Korea is relaunching all of his nuclear missiles again. So the world's going to handbasket. China's going to own the NBA. The Knicks are not good. The Nets are not good.
All right, back to football. Stop your rant and get back to football.
I'm going back to football. The Jets are not going to win. I don't see it as a good move.
All right. Let's go ahead and look at this weekend. We're going to start off with the Green Bay Packers against the Los Angeles Rams. What kind of shot do you give the Rams here, Sam?
Actually, I like the Rams here. I'm not going to pick them to win the game, but I think 35-65, the Rams are definitely the underdog here, but I have to give them some credit for what they do defensively. If there's going to be a team out there that can shut down Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams with the defense they have with Aaron Donald, Darius Williams, Jalen Ramsey. They have a good defensive backfield and also a very strong defensive line. So I think the Rams have a good chance here to make an impact, but Jared Goff has three screws in his thumb. It's a cold weather game. I imagine that's going to be very comfortable. I think Jared Goff and the offense here just might cost them the game.
Yeah, but with a cold weather game, Cam Akers comes into effect. That defense comes in. I think the cold weather, as crazy as it sounds, Greg, may favor the Rams in this game.
Yeah. I agree. I think it'll be a lot tighter than a lot of people think.
Yeah, because the game that stands out to me here is when Tampa Bay, who's got a very good defensive front, played Green Bay earlier in the season, and Green Bay couldn't block them. David Bakhtiari being out now, the starting left tackle for the Packers, they weren't able to fill in for him against the Bears. The guy they brought in for him got tested positive for COVID and can't play in the game. So when you look at this, Steve, are the Packers going to be able to put up their normal 30 points here?
I don't know. I was watching the weather this morning. They're calling for blizzard-like conditions in the Midwest over the weekend. So I agree with Greg and Sam, and I think that favors a defense and 7 out of 10 times. I think if anybody can throw in this kind of conditions, it's Aaron Rodgers. But it diminishes his opportunities to succeed, and definitely puts the favor in the hands of the defense. Having to protect that turf, that field's going to be hard and slick, and that's going to hurt this receiving core. And, it is going to be cold. Goff, you talk about Goff. I didn't think Goff was the reason they won or lost last weekend. I don't think he'll be the reason they win or lose this weekend. I think Goff is just a non-factor right now. All you want Jared Goff to do is not throw four picks or fumble the ball four times. If you get him through the game doing that and you let that defense do what it's capable of doing, and they showed that to Seattle last weekend, I think the Packers are going to have their hands full. And when we make our picks, you'll be surprised at where I'm going to go.
Well, obviously, we wouldn't be now because you just told us.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there you go. Last week, and I was right, and I'll tell it to you again.
It's a good thing you're not protecting this country's secrets. Davante Adams versus Jalen Ramsey, I think, is the biggest, the most intriguing one-on-one matchup headed into this entire divisional playoff weekend, Sam.
Yeah, I think it's the best one because you have arguably the best corner in the game versus Davante Adams, who will make a run at Offensive Player of the Year, like receiving touchdowns. Like, he and Aaron Rodgers have connected in a way that Aaron Rodgers maybe has never connected with any other wide receiver he's ever had, and that's a lot considering he's had Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Driver, Randall Cobb in the past. And Adams is playing like the best receiver in football this year. But him against Jalen Ramsey, that's going to be huge. But you can't overlook how helpful it's going to have with guys like John Johnson and Jordan Fuller, and Darius Williams, the air corner, have guys back there with him as well. That's going to make it a lot easier when you know you have guys behind you can trust.
Yeah, and when you look at this, I mean, Rodgers had a passer rating of 136 this season when targeting Adams. Ramsey limited opposing quarterbacks to a dismal 73 passer rating when throwing the ball his way. I think a lot of this is going to depend on whether the Packers can run the ball, Greg.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just a second. Phone's ringing. Just a second.
All right. So, rookies. Steve, be nice.
I just said rookies.
Be nice. Okay. So, last year, the thing that I remembered in the playoffs, okay, Steve, was the fact that they had a hard time stopping the run in San Francisco. That's what knocked Green Bay out. So when you look at this, I think the run game is going to be a big thing. And I think that there's no defense in the NFL that matches up with the Green Bay Packers better than what the Rams do.
I agree. I mean, I can't. I'm just going to be repeating what you said. I agree entirely. I think this weather actually, despite them being – it's going to be almost 90 here today in L.A., and the Rams being a warm weather team, I think this weather favors the Rams because of their defense.
All right, Greg, who you like in this game?
I like the Rams as well.
Sam?
I'm thinking with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Steve?
I'm going with the Rams defense.
I am going with the Rams also. I'm going with the Rams defense and Cam Akers. We are probably the only show in the world that has four people on it, and three of them are picking the Rams outside of the city of L.A. right now. But we've seen this before. We've seen this before with the Packers. And missing David Bakhtiari is huge. I mean, the guy they had fill in for him was terrible. I don't even remember his name by now. And I just think the Rams can get this done. The only way they don't get it done is if Jared Goff turns the ball over. And that can definitely happen. I think this game is 50-50. I'm going to go with the Rams, though, because if you give me the best offense in the league on one team and the best defense on the other, I'm going to take the best defense because in my 52 years of being alive, and Greg, you've been alive even longer than me, and so has Steve. You both can tell me this. This is the way it's always been, hasn't it? If you've got a big-time defense, you know, defense travels. Offense doesn't always.
Yeah, defense travels, and if you can run the ball in the cold weather.
Yeah. If Cam Akers runs for 130, 140 yards, I think the Rams win the game. And also, I believe this, Aaron Rodgers is not immune to turning the ball over in playoff games.
So well, and that was my question. My question to you, Mike, or Sam, or Greg, is Rodgers at this time in his career right now where he feels the weight of this team on his shoulders? And if he comes out slipping up a little bit off the get-go and this weather takes hold on him just a little bit and then some of his receivers slip, is he going to feel the pressure and feel that weight very heavily on his shoulders, more so than on the entire Rams defense, Sam?
He's felt that all year. I mean, they drafted the guy who's supposed to be his replacement. So Aaron Rodgers has felt this coming the entire season, and he's had an MVP caliber year. It's his third MVP season. He's 37 years old. It's not like he's Ben Roethlisberger and his arm's shot. He can barely throw the ball 10 yards downfield. So I think Aaron Rodgers, yes, he'll feel the pressure, but I don't think it's ever really impacted him to the point where he's collapsed in the past. I think he'll be just fine.
Now, one more question. As you may or may not have heard, Aaron Rodgers has been tabbed to be a guest host on Jeopardy. Is he thinking ahead right now and maybe looking past the Rams right now, thinking about
but I will tell you an
episode of Jeopardy?
I will tell you this, though. I think the fact that he's 37, he's only got one Super Bowl ring, does weigh on him. And I think it can put pressure on him. I mean, I may be wrong here. I don't think he's a guy that 4 years ago would have felt pressure like that. But, Greg, what do you think? I think that he needs to get a second ring just like Drew Brees does to be elevated with the Peyton Mannings of the world. None of them are reaching Tom Brady. But really to be in that upper echelon where you might be considered a top five quarterback, he's got to get that win.
Yeah, I agree.
Damn, he's a man of few words. He's the opposite of Risley, so this show won't take 4 hours, which we were worried about before. Next up, I think the best matchup – I'm sorry, Steve. The best matchup of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. Greg, what's your first thoughts on this game?
Buffalo has a hell of a team. I've never been a big fan of the Ravens, but I think they have they definitely have a shot in this game.
Yeah, and my only concern is when I look at these teams, I think there's no doubt Josh Allen is the better quarterback.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt that the Bills had the better O-line. But everywhere else except for receiver, I mean, the Ravens' defense is very good. So I think what this comes down to, Sam, is whether Lamar Jackson can make some plays through the air. I don't think he can come out and throw for 160 and win this game.
No. Yeah, it's going to be the chunk plays from Lamar. Let's face it, if he runs for, I don't know, like 150, maybe it makes up for it a little bit. But you get like the one long run he had against Tennessee the other day broke it open. He's going to have to score more points. And I think they had like, what was it, 20 points, 21 points against Tennessee. Yeah. They're going to have to score more than that against Buffalo. Which is why you're saying you have to throw the ball. You're going to need to hit Marquise Brown at least once for 40 or 50 yards. This is going to have to happen. Mark Andrews needs to do a better job of making sure he hauls and passes and not drops him. He had a couple of drops last week. Andrews is also a big play guy for them. So he's going to have to hit a couple of 30-plus yard passes downfield, which is something he has not been able to do consistently throughout the season.
All right, Steve, you watched them play the Colts. They gave up 472 yards of offense. That has to be a concern if you're a Bills fan. Give it almost 500 yards to a statue at quarterback. Is that more – I don't know how they could do that. That has to cause concern here. What's your take? Can Buffalo's defense do this against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think the Colts were a good wake-up call for the Bills. I think the Bills were a far superior team than the Colts. I just think they played to the Colts' level a little bit and weren't probably as prepared for the Colts as I think they should have been. And the Colts played a little bit above their expectations, or my expectations anyway. I expected them to not be within 3 points of that and actually have a legitimate chance to win that game. But I think that falls more on Buffalo's shoulders than it did the Colts. I don't think the Colts could have done much more than they did to win that game. And Buffalo could have done a lot more to blow that game out. So I think they'll be ready for Baltimore. I think Baltimore still tends to be offensively one-dimensional for the most part. They do have a good defense, but I think Buffalo has just got so many weaponry in their armamentarium offensively. I don't think they've got anything for the Bills. And they too will be playing in Buffalo, where the weather again is supposed to be not good up there either for the weekend. So I think that'll play a little bit of a factor as well. Baltimore tends not to play in a lot of snow or a lot of terribly cold weather because they're on the ocean.
Yeah, but they're a team that runs the ball. So
yeah, playing in cold
weather,
but yeah,
they even play.
It's going to be a good football game.
Even though Baltimore's the away team, I would think bad weather would actually favor Baltimore because Baltimore wants to slow the game down. They want to grind you out. Will you be nicer to your dog? I know you're poking him in the eye to get him to shut up.
No, I've got my entire family home here. Nobody can take the dogs out of the room when I'm doing the show.
Hey, so. Sam Teets, have you ever seen Old Yeller?
No, of course. Like, I haven't seen any movie in like the
You've
past
not
five
seen
years.
Old you know Yeller. That.
If you haven't seen Old Yeller, you're not even a man yet.
You're not a man. When,
yeah, I mean, Old Yeller will make you
cry. You have
cry.
Never cried a man's cry until you've seen Old Yeller.
How about Brian's Song? Have you seen Brian's Song, Sam?
No, you know, I've talked about this. You know, I've seen part of it, not the whole thing.
I just thought maybe you would watch it. It's a 70-minute movie. It's not like it's going to take
a movie of the week. It wasn't even a real movie.
Yeah, it was a TV movie.
Yeah, movie of the week.
72 minutes is all it is, Sam. You could take 72 minutes out of playing Call of Duty and Madden to watch, you know, Brian's Song.
So anyway, I think Baltimore does not match up well to Buffalo across the board with everything considered. I think Buffalo moves on to play either Cleveland or Kansas City.
The matchup here that stands out to me, Sam, and we talked about it when Kansas City played Baltimore. Baltimore's got a very good secondary. But I don't think that the way they cover is conducive to covering Stephon Diggs. We talked about how Kansas City runs Tyreek Hill, and that Myron Humphrey, guys like that are more a straight line, forward or backward defenders, not the greatest hips in the world. I think Stephon Diggs has a huge game here. I, unlike Risley, I think this is a 50-50 game. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to err on the side of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and I'm going to pick the Bills to win this game. I think it'll be a high-scoring game with one team running up and down the field, the other one throwing up and down the field. But I trust Josh Allen more than Lamar Jackson, and I think Stephon Diggs is the best player on the field.
Yeah, I mean, both teams have very good coordinators. We talked about with Baltimore, they've got some great they got some great coaches there, and same with Buffalo. So it's very hard to predict how it's going to work out because you're going to have a chess match between these guys who are all hitting basically for new head coaching spots. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I believe Baltimore is going to try to change what they do defensively to counter Stephon Diggs. Because everyone knows he's the biggest issue when you face the Buffalo Bills.
But what are they going to do to counter him? What do they do to counter him? Because I've seen people double team him. The first guy is trying to jam him, and the other is trying to cover. And Diggs will just get away from him immediately. Even when he's being double teamed, it looks like nobody's covering him half the time.
The only thing I think you could do is hope that your former All-Pro corners perform well and put a safety over the top and just hope that works out. So you change everything you do defensively in the course of a week. But I don't know. They can't do what they've done in the past. They have to change something up there. They really want to shut down Stephon.
How about that? I think the only way you defend Stephon Diggs is giving Josh Allen enough trouble reading the coverages that you can take Stephon Diggs away that way.
No, I understand that. Josh Allen still makes some mistakes sometimes. He has shown that he's not entirely past the point of where he'll get confused at times. Now, he hasn't done it much this year, but there's still moments where Josh Allen has those kind of mental lapses.
Well, I've seen Tom Brady confused this year. I saw Peyton Manning confused when he was 38 years old. It happens. Bills or Ravens, Sam?
Ravens.
I hate you. Greg, what do you think, Bills or the god-awful Ravens?
Not a fan of either team, but I'll say 31-24 Buffalo.
I like Buffalo. I think Buffalo wins 37-34. What do you think, Steve?
I think Buffalo wins.
Damn, Greg, we're going to be wrong. Twice. Twice we've said this. Sam Teets is going to blow us away this week.
He's either going to be a hero or a total idiot.
Yeah.
It's usually how it works.
He's totally picked against us both times now.
Yep. All right. Next up, the Kansas City Chiefs play the Cleveland Browns. I want to remind everybody the Cleveland Browns destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh in the playoffs last week. It was a lot of fun. It was 28-0 after a quarter. I thought about Sam Teets then crying into his terrible towel. And Sam, can the Browns do it again?
You know, I think it's actually closer than the Rams-Packers game that we talked about earlier. I think it's much closer than that because the Browns are getting most of their guys back who they've lost because of COVID. They're getting Joel Bitonio with the guard back. He just got activated. So he'll play. They arguably have the best offensive line, the top three offensive line. They have the best backfield with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Baker Mayfield just has to not make mistakes. If Baker Mayfield throws for 250 yards and two touchdowns and zero interceptions, they'll win this game. I think they're that close to winning it. I think really they just have to make no mistakes. They just have Chiefs weak defense, which is probably the worst defense left at this point in the playoffs, at least on that side, at least on the AFC side of things. So I think they have a legit chance to win this game.
So are you going to pick them to win the game?
Oh, heck no. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Well, see, my concern with this, Greg, is when I watch this game, I don't think Cleveland's defense is very good. And I think Kansas City has a tendency to keep people in the games. They've had a couple weeks off, which I think a lot of times is actually a detriment. Cleveland's coming off a big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. But my question is, can Cleveland defensively slow Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense down?
I'm not really sure about that. I think for Cleveland to go further along the line and maybe challenge for a Super Bowl, they need a couple more bodies on defense. I don't think there's offensively, I think they're fine, but I think defensively they need a little more in the defensive backfield, and because they've been outscoring people, but that's not how you win in the that's not how you generally win in the playoffs for the most part.
All right, so you're going Chiefs?
I would say yeah. I'll say 31-24 Kansas City.
So you're not one of those guys who's going to pick your team no matter what, even when you've been warned repeatedly over the 6 weeks previous.
I've spoke to him, but I've never met Michael Irvin, who bets on the Cowboys every week. So that's a good thing.
He made a lot of money in his career, huh?
Yes, he has. I know.
Well, he's lost a lot ever since he retired. Steve, Browns, Chiefs, what's the key?
Who do you think? I've got to go, guys.
All right. See ya.
I'll be back in a bit. I might be back before the end of the show, but I have to go downstairs and pick something up.
All righty. See ya.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Steve, Browns, Chiefs, what do you think?
I think that Cleveland is 1 year away from being somebody that I could legitimately pick to beat the Chiefs. I think they're close. I think this is going to be a fun football game to watch. I think Mahomes is going to come out gunslinging. That team's rested. And I think Cleveland has nothing to lose. And they're playing as loose a football as there is in the NFL right now. But I just think the firepower of Kansas City is still just too strong. Andy Reid's a heck of a football coach. And it's going to be close. It's going to be tight. And it might even come down to a last drive of either team. But I think if I was going to bet money, I would bet on Kansas City to win this game in a squeaker.
What's the point spread on this game, Sam?
I can look it up real quick.
Because I'm guessing something like 8.5, maybe.
Is it that much? That's surprising that it is.
I'm guessing.
10.
10? All right. Yeah, I can tell you that. I believe the Chiefs will win the game. If I was betting the game, I would take the Browns into points.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely, Mike. I would pick Cleveland to cover. but take the Chiefs to win the game.
And really, the difference in this game to me is Patrick Mahomes as opposed to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield hadn't been in these positions too often. He did have to make some plays when the game got slightly closer within two touchdowns last week when they destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers. But my question is, can he do that in the last minute of the game? We already know Patrick Mahomes can do that. I really think Cleveland can come out, run the ball, control the clock, but I think the issue is going to be getting the ball in the end zone. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see them have to settle for field goals two or three times. And that's going to cost them the game because you don't beat Kansas City by kicking field goals. You've got to put the ball in the end zone. You've got to score touchdowns. And when you look at it that way, I just don't see any way you can pick the Browns. I do think the Browns will stay in the game. I think you get like a 30-20 final. But I don't think defensively they can hold the Kansas City Chiefs less than 27 points. And I don't think that they can score 27 points. So I think it's a closer matchup than 10 points. So I think 30-20, 30-23, something like that. But there's no way I would bet this and give 10 points just because the Chiefs all year have had a propensity to keep teams in the game.
Agreed. Sam, do we have any idea what Kansas City's COVID stance is going to be in terms of letting fans in the stadium?
I can look it up real quick. But I thought they had let some fans in the stands earlier this year.
I think at the start of the season, that first game, they had like 16 or 18,000 in there.
I don't think
it matters who the home team is in a playoff game. The best team will win. And usually the best team is the higher seed. That's why usually the home team wins, I think. But, I mean, really, Steve, when you played on the road and you played at Michigan, I'm not going to say Purdue because I know you lost there every time. And some things never change. But because Indiana always loses to Purdue.
Eight in a row.
Hell, they lose to Northwestern, too, don't they? Or they barely beat them. But does it really make that big of a difference?
Well, that's unfair to say that to us because we had the drown out factor. We had the only person who could yell louder than the entire crowd at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Well, how about this?
You didn't hear Iowa fans. You heard night.
I mean, you played Indiana high school basketball in the 70s. Was it really that big of a difference to go on the road once the game starts?
No.
So,
different cheerleaders to look at.
You shouldn't be looking at cheerleaders. That's why you lost to Aurora in 1977, probably.
No, not because of the cheerleaders at Aurora. Trust me.
It was because of Tim Johnson. Don't make fun of Aurora women.
I'll give you Tim Johnson, but I'm not going to give you your cheerleading squad.
It was Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson destroyed your ass.
He did.
So we are all picking the Chiefs, but we all think it'll be probably closer to 10 points, correct?
I think it'll be a fun game to watch, guys, don't you?
Yeah, I think all these are good matchups. All of them are interesting one way or the other. Now, the Rams, Packers, Chiefs, Browns. The Packers and Chiefs could come out on fire and blow them out. But there is an intrigue in there because of the Rams' defense and because of the Browns' running game. And we saw last year, the Chiefs' defense hasn't been as good this year. Last year, they weren't that good until you get to, week 11 or 12? Up until that point, teams like the Colts, who could run the ball and had a good offensive line, were beating them. So it can be done. And Patrick Mahomes has not been infallible, especially the last month of the season. And, I mean, this is a team that struggled in a lot of games, almost lost to Atlanta last game of the season. I know it's not the same situation. This is a playoff game. Yeah. But still, you never know. I mean, last week, who would have thought the Cleveland Browns would score almost 50 points on the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game?
Well, and that goes to say, Sam, I think that this is a real benchmark for Pittsburgh in the sense that if Baker comes out, Mayfield comes out, and has a great game, his confidence level, he's going to be tough to reckon with next year. And that makes it tough on Pittsburgh to repeat and to hold their lofty position as the best team. It's going to be tougher for them to climb back up. If Cleveland and Cincinnati, if Burrow gets healthy, Cincinnati's only going to improve.
And if Lamar Jackson gets a little bit better throwing the ball.
This is just a watermark game for Pittsburgh as well, too. If Cleveland comes out and takes Kansas City to the wire and plays them tough, Cleveland's going to come hunting for bear next year, thinking they're the best team in the AFC North.
Well, I think it's safe to say the AFC North champion will be decided on who goes farther, the Browns or the Ravens. Wouldn't you agree, Sam? It's hard to beat a division champion when you get your ass smoked in a wild card game at home.
Well, you can say what you want, Mike, but it doesn't matter. The record books will show Pittsburgh as the AFC North winners, but...
No, they don't, because you know what? 100 years from now, there's going to be some kid in Nebraska, if the country still exists then, that's going to look at a history book of sports, and he's going to say, huh, that's kind of stupid. The Steelers won the division, but they didn't get out of the wild card game, and the team that beat them kept playing, and this team that beat them kept playing. That makes no sense. And the guy's going to look at his son and say, you know what, son? Times were weird back then. You know, there was a reality star, a billionaire, that was the president. And then they got a guy with Alzheimer's to be president. So the world was completely confused back then.
Yeah. Well, Pittsburgh's still the division champs. Nothing you can do about that.
Yes, there is, because they're not in the divisional playoffs. So it makes no sense. Does it matter that you won the division when you can't even make it to the divisional playoff round? All right, next up, Tom Brady versus Drew Brees seems to be the big topic. I still think that the Bills-Ravens is a better matchup. But the Bucs-Saints, interesting game. Steve, what do you think?
I don't think it's the least game I have an interest in watching of all four of them this weekend, truthfully. I think Brees is come and gone. I think that he may find a way to rise for a half in this game or something like that, but he just looks not like Drew Brees of 2 years ago.
You told us 2 weeks ago he was on fire.
I've changed my song and dance. I have a right to do that.
No, you don't.
So
not without getting shit for it. You don't.
That's okay. No problem. But I just think that Tampa Bay continues to get just a little bit better and dialed in more and more each week. And they're a team that's improving in the playoffs and not just hanging on and floundering. So I think Tampa Bay controls this game. I don't know that it's going to be a blowout because they're both very high-powered offenses. But I think Tampa Bay dictates the tempo of this game, how they want to see it done. Aaron's as good at doing that as a coach. And Brady certainly has proven he can control tempo of any game and make other teams do things they don't want to do better than anybody. He is the GOAT at that, if nothing else, but a lot of other things too.
All right. When I look at this matchup, there's no doubt the Saints are better. That's not my question. My question is what happens in a playoff game. If you look at it, the Saints run the ball better. The Saints had the better offensive line. The Saints had the better defense. So, how does Tampa Bay win this game when we've seen them play the Saints twice? First time, they lost a relatively close game in New Orleans. The second game, at home, they got destroyed by the Saints. So what do we see here, Sam? Because to me, I see this. I think if Tom Brady plays great, I think they'll win the game because in the end, the Saints will find a way to screw it up. But if Tom Brady doesn't play great, they can't win this game.
Yeah, well, Mad Chad's in the chat saying that he believes Tom Brady is going to win this game and Tampa Bay is going to go to the Super Bowl. But I'll say this. What they have done better over the past couple weeks, and they played worse. They have played bad teams. Well, they did play good defensive front last week. What they've done differently is they've been more using like two tight end personnel sets where they brought in guys to help take off the edge, take out edge rushers, to control Tom Brady's pocket a little bit more, give him more time to throw the ball, keep pressure off him. He's been pressured something like 8 times maybe in the past 6 or 7 weeks. They kept a lot of pressure off of him over that time. That's what you have to do against a good New Orleans front. Give him time and let the receivers, who, by the way, are looking much better now, Antonio Brown's gotten involved in that unit and is seeing more snaps and make more plays, give them time to get open. Brady doesn't face pressure. Brady is fantastic. So the key for them right now is keeping the pressure off of Brady. Also, last week, we saw play action a little bit more because they were able to run the ball with Leonard Fournette. It sounds like Ronald Jones is going to be a game-time decision, but you have him and Leonard Fournette healthy for this game. You run with those two guys, maybe open up the play action a little bit more. That just makes your offense even more dynamic. I think it has to be the offense for Tampa Bay here making the difference. The defense is good, but the defense could always slip up. The key here is going to be Tom Brady and making sure he doesn't face a lot of pressure early on in this game.
All right, Steve, Lucas Weiss wishes us a happy new year. Happy new year, Lucas.
Thank you, Lucas.
All right. Mad Chad KC versus Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. Breeze 5-2 versus Tampa Brady. Tampa remembers week one. Nobody better at making adjustments than the GOAT. Why didn't the GOAT make adjustments the second time they played when they got beat worse? And I'm thinking that Mad Chad may be Tom Brady's son. I mean, so.
Well, in defense of Mad Chad, I'm just going to say, I don't see Tom Brady as somebody at this point in his career who's going to beat himself. I see Breeze as a possibility to beat himself.
I think it's an NFL football game. I think both teams have really good front fours. I think both of them could beat themselves because, you know what, if you don't have time to throw it, you know, eventually you end up
beating yourself then. That's your offensive line beating you.
What I'm saying is, though, if the time clock in your head is sped up because your offensive line's not playing that well and maybe you're getting a little desperate, you can beat yourself, especially when you're a guy like Brady or Breeze, who you think you are the greatest that ever lived. Now, if you do Breeze, you're wrong because Tom Brady is the greatest that ever lived. That's for Mad Chad, and because it's just flat out true. But I really think when I look at these teams, offensive lines to Saints are far superior. The running game to Saints are far superior. You got Alvin Kamara. He can do it out of the backfield. He can do it however. Wide receiver, closer matchup. Michael Thomas is healthy. You go defensively to secondary. I think the Saints are better, Sam.
Oh, by far the secondary. They have guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, and got more depth there as well. So I think that the Saints have more depth than almost every position, maybe except for wide receiver, maybe except for tight end. But every spot, they have guys who can come in and rotate and still be good players for them. And they've got an embarrassment of riches this year. My concern still is that offense necessarily. And will they be able to outpace the Buccaneers? Because the Buccaneers got on a roll here. I mean, we saw, I think when the Saints played, was it Philadelphia? I get granted they had Taysom Hill at quarterback, so obviously that changes a lot of things. But I think the Saints got outpaced by Philadelphia in that game, and the Eagles took advantage of that defense. So if Tom Brady can do something similar, he's not going to be running like Jalen Hurts, obviously. Something similar, we'll see if the Saints offense can keep up.
All right, Steve, who do you got, Bucks or Saints? Because to me, this is the toughest game for me to pick this week, and I picked the Rams to beat the Packers. How about that?
I got the Bucks. I mean, I've clearly got the Bucks in this game. I've learned over the years, and I've got it on somewhat of a quiet authority that there's some rumor that Belichick may be wired into Brady's helmet.
That means his dog told him. All right.
I kind of agree with Mad Chad here. Tampa Bay is peaking right now. They're on an upward trend. Every week they seem to be getting just a little bit better, which makes them just a little bit harder to beat. I take all your points about O-line, about defense, about running game, but there's that intangible there called GOAT. And Brady and the six rings that are sitting there. And Arians is not an overcoaching coach. He's going to play off of Brady's knowledge of how to get this
done. I don't think so. I think that's why this team's lost so many games. I think Bruce Arians.
That could be an issue.
We'll see. It's a difference in the playoffs than it is in regular season. I think that Arians, you know, this is an opportunity for him to solidify himself as an upper echelon coach as well, too. I'm just going to go with the Bucks. I got the Bucks going to the Super Bowl.
Sam?
I'll take the Bucks as well. I've learned at this point you don't bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs, and frankly, it's just a gut feeling. I know the Saints on paper. The Saints are far better than the Buccaneers. On paper, the Saints are the better team.
The best team in the NFL if you played on paper, but if you play on paper, everybody would fall through it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're not playing on paper. The Bucs here. I just have more faith in them at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucs. I think the Saints are the better team, but I think the Saints are the Saints. When it gets down to it, the Saints find a way to lose a game. So I think the Bucs win, and they went on a Hail Mary pass at the end of the game. It bounces off seven guys, hits the Pope in the head, and bounces in. to Leonard Fournette's hands, who is running at the 20 because the ball gets batted all the way back. They catch it. He runs through everybody and scores. And then Sean Payton cries because the officials didn't call a penalty.
So, in other words, what you're saying is that Sam will actually get to see an immaculate reception.
A legal one, maybe, this time.
A legal one, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
What? Well, you know what? All I can say to you, Sam, is the Cleveland Browns got – I mean, no, wait, they didn't get beat, did they? They beat the crap out of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no way slicing that one up.
No,
you can't paint that one in any direction except.
The only way you can get as embarrassing is if they would have lost to the Cincinnati Bengals on a Monday night game when the Bengals only had one or two wins. Whoa, that happened.
Yeah, good that happened.
Damn, that happened too. The other thing is this: Kevin Stefanski is Scottish. I found out now. So if he could be like, I think he ought to be like William Wallace and walk out into the Kansas City field with a sword and he's face painted.
I think it's time for Roethlisberger to get on his motorcycle and ride out of town and try not to wreck it this time.
All righty. Any other things?
Sam's going like, what? What are you talking about?
What do you think about? Hey, wait a second. Sam, have you ever seen Braveheart?
Oh, no.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, my God.
Have you seen The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
No.
Have you ever seen? No, I ain't gonna say that.
you ever seen Airplane?
What?
You ever see the inside of a Turkish prison, Johnny?
You try dragging Walt and Lanier up and down a cord for 48 minutes.
Yeah. Tell your dad to shut up.
Roger, right. Roger. What's our Clarence? What's our Vector?
He's never seen Airplane either, but look on his face. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Excuse me, ma'am. I speak jive.
Wrap it up.
I think we covered everything today.
What about Arthur Smith with the Atlanta Falcons? Could there be a worse possible hire?
I don't know. What Arthur Smith does well with Tennessee and that offense, you're never going to be able to replicate that in Atlanta. It's not going to happen. That would be a terrible matchup, I think.
He's got Derrick Henry. Plus, his name is Arthur Smith. You cannot tell me that that's a great coaching name. It's not, no. It's not Bill Belichick. You know he's going to be a really good coach.
That sounds like a dance studio.
John Harbaugh is a good coach. John Harbaugh. Zach Taylor, he's a little girl, so he can't coach. Frank Reich. I'm still not sure about that name. but it's closer to being correct than Arthur Smith. And it does sound like a dance studio.
All right, I'm going to disagree with Mad Chad finally. He says 3-point game, Bucks. I think it's going to be more than a 3-point game.
Well, now you're going to piss him off.
No, I agree with him on everything else he said. I just think that it's going to be a – I think that New Orleans is going to struggle.
All right. Just like
– the Saints is a favorite there. The Saints are a 3-point favorite in that game.
They should be. They're the better team, but they're the Saints. Yeah. And we've watched them blow games against the Vikings, the Rams, all that. I mean, the Rams game, the penalty cost them, but it didn't cost them the first three quarters when they didn't play well and didn't put the game away when they should have. So I think these are four great matchups. I can't wait to watch them, and we will be back on Monday to discuss them. I want to make sure everybody checks out Path of Purity. You can get there, pathofpurity.direct/replenishingcare/ Time release CBD, take it in the morning. It goes immediately into your bloodstream. It releases periodically throughout the day. Best CBD on the market. We will actually have James Comerford on to have a show about it Monday. He will be on after me, Sam, and Steve recap the divisional playoff weekend. So make sure you check that out on the Grueling Truth. Make sure you go to Rockfin, sign up for free with your email account. We are also now on BitChute. You can find us there. Spotify, Stitcher, every place you can find us, possibly you will find us. But Sam Teach, you can follow at Sam Teach 33. Steve Risley, you can follow at S Risley 34. You can follow me at Grueling Truth. So for now, for Steve Risley, Sam Teach, Greg Gorecki, who was our special guest today, but once his Browns got talked about, he was ready to go. I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening and watching The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.